Juno's Tech Roundtable number 4. This is the space that will go through previous feature upgrades, how those went, updates on the chain, as well as future updates and big exciting announcements that we have. So the last time we called was last month, and at that time we were just beginning to roll out the V16 upgrade on mainnet. This was our massive overhaul and refactor of the entire code base, upgrading to Cosmos SDK version 47, bringing us the latest and greatest features. That went successful on mainnet right after that call later that day. And since then, it's been running perfectly fine without issues. From a web app perspective, some apps needed to upgrade their versions to be compatible, but from the chain perspective, everything went as according to plan. There was one minor issue, which we did find later on, which affected global fees in terms of us updating that value from a governance proposal. That will be fixed in this next upgrade. It is quite a minor thing, and funds are continue to be safe. So overall, the upgrade was a massive success, which resulted in about 500,000 lines of code changing, reformatting, and better positioning the code base to be upgradable in the future and things like that. So super excited on that and glad that went through, as well as the team's cooperation of upgrading their web apps and things as we ran into issues with that. From a testing perspective, local interchain has now been brought up into Strangelove's interchain test repo. They are using this for light client development now as well as other teams are interested in launching local interchains and local chains to connect with, whether that be Juno or Osmosis or whatever, locally to test their cross-chain application. So as we want our projects to expand into the interchain, we need a testing environment that makes that simple to do without having to run your own relayers, having to set up all this infrastructure just to tear it down every day that you restart your computer. So this has been an important bit of work for me. I'll continue working on this. Right now it supports, it can support any language that we have. Right now we have Python as the base language, as well as it accepts Go. We'll be adding Rust features in the future, as well as TypeScript and JavaScript, and then moving on to maybe Bash as well. So we're really excited about this. This makes it possible for things like DowDow, things for, say, Raccoon, to test locally without having to use test nets to be able to restart based off of any state that they want, and it makes it super simple. We're really excited about this development. It not only makes development easier on Juno, but across the entire interchain, as I mentioned, with like Light Client and IBC development. So that's been really great, and that's a really exciting project that I will continue to support, and we're going to continue to push on here as we get future developers in from the CosmWASM ecosystem, as well as training more protocol developers on the Juno side of the SDK. The other exciting announcement, which is kind of like a plug on my end, is JunoCraft has been extremely successful in proving, connecting a up-to-date Cosmos SDK chain into the Minecraft popular game, which has, a couple hundred million players monthly. And the integration has been successful, including the betting and all of that. You can go find that in my latest tweets there. And so we've had, a couple users go on and very minor bugs, which are all in game, nothing on the chain side. So everything from the chain side has been successful, and that's only possible because Juno is, the latest and greatest of all these features in Cosmos, and because of CosmWASM making that possible. So JunoCraft has been a success in a on-chain betting experience, and we're looking to continue to roll that out and push either new features or, new interactions that we can do in-chain. And I'll be discussing a little bit more of that in a minute whenever I talk about our new hire update and some plans that we have for future development there and how we can leverage JunoCraft to take Juno to the next level and solve, I think, one of the biggest issues that Juno faces, as well as the rest of the Cosmos. So I'm excited to delve into that a little bit, and I'll have time for questions after I go through these updates today. So make sure to keep note of any questions that you do have. past that, version 17 is now ready for testnet. It is actually going live here within the next 250 blocks on our uni testnet. So that's about 30-ish minutes that'll be going live. This is a massive upgrade, which takes a lot of features that we have had planned in the past and kind of like postponed. And we're getting all of those features in now. So this includes two new modules, custom. It'll include 3-second block times. It will make our token factory mesh with Osmosis's token factories for cross-chain applications. In this case, it's specifically for DAO, but then other DeFi applications can, of course, leverage this. We'll have the new Cosm Wasm 1.3 features. FeeShare will allow for DAO to now register contracts directly. In the past, you had to register the contract to itself. Now a DAO that has either uploaded it or is the admin of said contract can now register directly and have those funds come back to the DAO, or you can send those to another wallet, assuming that the DAO does pass that. Another big issue that we have seen on the protocol side is that global fee has actually been failing for some relayers due to the increased usage of IBC. And so we see this as a major adoption standpoint of people are trying to do more complex queries, and that is resulting in some gas issues, specifically due to TFM.com. So through this next upgrade, we'll be increasing this limit to 2 million gas for free for IBC relayers. This way, they don't have to pay any funds outside of their typical operations of the infrastructure. So because of IBC hooks and TFM and those cross-chain routings there, the gas limits we've seen have come out on average at about 1.1 to 1.2 million gas, which is right above our previous limit. So we wanted to increase this to 2 million to give relayers that chance and that option to still not continue to pay for fees and to keep the user experience good for them. So that's why we're increasing that. And we also have a couple new additions that we're bypassing global fees for related to IBC to keep costs down for relayers. So we still love our relayers. We want to make sure that we continue to push forward in that and make sure that they don't run out of funds due to the higher fees that we expect for users to pay for contract executions. We did some minor fixes and testing in our own internal testing and end-to-end stuff. So there's some minor things there. We've upgraded and done some security patches as well in this upgrade, very minor things relative to typical day-to-day operations. So that's been exciting. So with this upgrade, as I mentioned, the two big things are two modules as well as 3-second block times. The two modules that we've implemented is a X/drip module and also the clock module. So drip is an easy way for a new token to distribute to all Juno stakers in an efficient way through the standard claim process and coupler. So as you have your tokens that you have staked, you see those rewards in your coupler or Leaf wallet, and then you're able to go claim those every X period of time based off of your own, how you decide that you want to. And with this, it will allow for a token to be distributed via governance. So it has to go up through a governance proposal. That token can then go into the network like pool that holds all the fees that are to be distributed. And then the user, next time that they claim, will receive some of that token based off of how much they have staked. So this allows for a very easy method where in a single command, a team can launch an airdrop to the entire chain, and the chain can claim it as they claim their typical rewards due to tax reasons. So this is a very efficient way. This is how the SDK already does it. And instead of writing all these scripts and distributing it and needing all these different airdrop, whether that be a contract or Python scripts, we removed all of that. Demi specifically wrote this module, and then I just went back kind of tested it. It's a very simple module, but it's something that we think is needed as we want to incubate projects. We want you to be able to get your token via Token Factory or via an IBC token to be sent out to all of these users. So it's a very exciting module. We're excited to have it. And it really shows that we want to be an incubator chain. And to do that, we need to allow for airdrops to the current chain. So that's module one there. Module two is more for developers. We've seen extremely high interest in this module, and that is the clock module. So this is a module that I wrote, not expecting to get into this upgrade, but it's was able to get it through very quickly. And it allows for a smart contract to execute every single block. So typically right now, the only time that a smart contract executes is if a person or a bot specifically tells the contract, hey, I want to do this function. And the issue with that is that for whether that be a relayer or not a relayer, but a contract that needs to do some action, but it needs to happen every single block, whether that be cleanup or we need to, you know, recompound rewards or something, it requires this external source to come into the contract and tell it, hey, do this function. And, you know, you can do cleanup work then, but it's less efficient, and it would be more efficient for the chain to do it. The chain auto increments blocks every single, in this case, it'll be 3 seconds. And at that time, we should have the contract be able to perform whatever logic it wants within the contract itself. And that's what this clock module will do. Whether that be auto compound rewards, you know, do some IBC message, clean up past stuff. And this removes a lot of bots, specifically to remove bots from Raccoon Bet, which they have an off-chain bot, which, you know, could go down. And in that case, you know, something wrong could happen. Instead, let's put that on chain. You know, it makes sense to have that on chain. From Croncats, you know, they have these external searchers that check when was the last time that, you know, someone submitted a value or, you know, ran a transaction that we expected to go through. Well, in this case, they no longer have to have that off-chain bot. They can be on-chain solely by the chain up to 1 billion gas per end block, which is, you know, in line with where other executes such as distributing tokens happens every end block. So there's a lot of possibility. There's a lot of compute that they can get. And they're in this 2 second downtime while we're, you know, collecting all of the votes and all of that from the peer-to-peer side. The clock module will allow for you to perform all of these extremely, you know, competitive computationally expensive tasks. And we can do that for free. So there's no fee cost to you to use all this gas because it's not actually within the block. We're doing it as its own like external like lane, if you want to think of it that way. So every team so far that I've talked to, DAO, you know, Croncats, the Raccoon guys, they've all been extremely interested in this, as well as some new developers that are coming in and are looking at this and saying, you know, we were thinking that we were going to have to build our own bot out to be able to do this, and now you won't have to. And so we're super excited about that. Initially, it'll be governance gated. In the future, we will also look at possibly allowing a DAO to run this, so we can have people that are, you know, knowledgeable about Cosmos contracts. They can audit, you know, quote unquote audit private code to ensure that, hey, like this logic does look good. They're not trying to harm the network in any way. And then in the future, we could look at making this permissionless and allowing for any contract to register itself to run at the end of the block with a massive amount of gas. And so this is, you know, the small stage. We're going to have a couple testing contracts on testnet to ensure that this works properly. But we think this is quite a large leap forward in terms of Cosmos development and solving some of the biggest pain points that we've seen in these hacky solutions that get around that. So really excited about this module, and I'm glad that developers are also seeing that as well. So those are our two big modules. The large third change is the 3 second block times. Currently, we have 6 second block times. We're reducing this down to 3 seconds. We think that this is a safe area. So it's going to be 1 second on the Tendermint, like collecting of transactions, and then 2 seconds for processing and downtime, which gives time for latency. Whether you're in Australia or Canada, you should have plenty of time to do that with reasonable hardware. We're trying to allow for like standard VPSs should be able to run this, you know, like $15 a month. You should be fine. You know, if you're running less than that, you're already, you know, pushing the bounds of where even the 6 second ones are. So we feel comfortable with this 3 second position. In the case that, you know, we do see validators either go offline or whatever, we are happy to increase this to 4 seconds, but we just want to make it quicker than 6. So we're going to try to find where that balance is. We think it's fine at 3 seconds, but we'll continue to do monitoring with that. Now, part of going to 3 seconds means that there's going to be a lot more queries against the node network, which is already pretty stressed. And so with this, we'll also be rolling out Cosmos Cache, which is the caching solution that allows for more efficient queries on the node network. And this will also include, or will be including, edge computation. So what this will mean is instead of a query going, you know, through, there's a company called Cloudflare, they're a DNS provider, it then gets like rerouted to your server based off of multiple hops and all these transfers. And then you ask for that data and it sends it all the way back through the pipeline. Instead of that, you would hit the company Cloudflare before it does any other routing, and it would hit that. And then from there, it'll return back values that are like cache, which means, hey, the value was, you know, 2 seconds ago, it was this. We're going to assume it's the same thing because, you know, that's safe to do. And we're just going to return it right back to you. And so we're going to remove a lot of strain off of nodes that maybe get hit with the same query. Maybe you check your balance. You know, you have an app or a bot that checks the balance of an account every half second. Well, a balance can only update every currently 6 seconds. So all these extra, you know, resources that are required to to compute that value. When everyone's doing that, it puts a lot of strain on these nodes. And so we're trying to remove that off of the node. And with going down to lower block times, it's ever more important that we continue to invest in our resources and our infrastructure and to reduce costs for our validators and anyone that is running infrastructure. So this will be a part of it. Specifically, Noah at DAODAO is working on that. We'll get that integrated in. But overall, Cosmos Cache as it currently stands is a mesh network of a caching layer. And you know, it is safe to use because it backs out the cache every blockchain. It will reset certain cache values. And so this is so far the best public example that we have for a caching solution. I know some others are working on some more in the future, I believe also with edge computation. So this is the way that we're going forward, and we're pushing the bounds on that on Juno mainnet as well as testnet. A couple other networks are currently running it, including Cosmos Hub, Akash, the Chihuahua Chains, Injective. And so it's showing out that it's working across the interchain on both 45 and 47. And so I'm glad to see that not only is Juno receiving that because we had the Hopper situation in the past, but other chains are able to now leverage that as well. And so we'll continue pushing forward on that too. So that's all the updates on the version 17 upgrade. I mentioned last time that we were in the process of hiring someone part-time to begin to onboard them to the SDK to like help take over part of the Juno code base. That hire has been extremely, extremely exciting. He is working now on the module. He's already completed the proof of concept and learned Cosmos-based infrastructure and discussing that with him through direct mentorship. And he's now building the module way ahead of schedule. So I wasn't expecting him to really begin on this module until roughly next month. And we've already started on the design phase and are now implementing it. So this new module is called Fee Prepay. It will allow for a contract developer to pay, have some funds in a module, and the contract as a user executes against it can have zero funds in their account and still be allowed execution on said contract based off of the requirements of the contract as well as what the developer wants. So as a direct example, let's say that you have an account, maybe you have no funds or very little funds, but you wanted to interact with DAODAO, like the main contract. And so DAODAO could have a like slush fund essentially, where if you send a zero transaction fee and you're not blacklisted from this, or maybe you've only interacted with this contract once, they maybe have specified like, hey, you can interact with this freely for five times per month, for example, that you would get to do that free execute, and the DAODAO would be paying for your fees directly without any fee share grants or any external needs there. So it'll be a direct, hey, I have no funds, I want to execute on this contract. The contract will pay for my fee on my behalf because the developer registered it. And then through that, the user gets a better user experience. Even it allows for like on-chain faucets where maybe you completely ran out of funds because you accidentally staked all your Juno. How do I get more funds? Let's have that on-chain. We can have an on-chain contract that you request one time per month and you can get one Juno back. That way that you can do that as an account that's already existed for, some period of time, or you have some certain amount of stake to prove that like you're not just a bot, like you're an actual human, you have funds to prove with that. So he's building out that module now. There's a lot of edge cases that we need to think through, but this is an exciting time to bring onto a new core contributor into the Juno ecosystem here on the protocol side. And then in the future, of course, getting on with Cosmos and contracts and being able to use his learnings and teachings into our documentation that I've been really trying to hammer out through him of, he is someone new into the crypto space. Let's teach him the Cosmos stuff. Where did you run into issues? And leverage that to inform other future developers, whether that be, on Juno or in other chains of this is where you're going to have issues. Here's some helpful resources. Here's how to build. And so we're really, really excited about that. One last thing, and then I'll open it up for questions. Leet Society is the thing that Jake is leading, which is a mentorship group of other Cosmos developers. And this is Joel's learning here is going to really expand that in terms of where we're going to be teaching these things. And so Jake has funded this with some initial funds for some bounties. I'm working directly with Joel, of course, for the protocol side, understanding his downfalls in Cosmos so we can, brush that off and move on to the next things and continue development. And so Leet Society is continuing to be in the works, and this future hire is making that possible. Now, with this, another idea that I've discussed with the core team is that we have found a niche in the market, not the crypto market, but a niche somewhere that a lot of positive developers with, you know, extremely talented skills that are being very underpaid are have been found. And so with this, we're looking at possibly, you know, putting together a fund or, you know, finding ways through Elite Society or some way to get these developers in. We're going to then use another project that we have developed to use it almost like as a Trojan horse to teaching them, you know, indirectly teaching them about crypto and allowing them to build on Juno without like really having to know that they're building on Juno or blockchain in the direct sense. So we found this. We think that it's a very strong strategic plan to get future developers on. Joel is the first example of this. And it's been so far extremely successful teaching him the SDK in the Cosmos in less than 1 month and being able to build a module almost by himself with like very limited help at this point has like really shown that like this is a possible way that we can go and will be a way that we are definitely looking towards you know, leveraging in the future. So other chains, as you've noticed, like, you know, including Juno, there's a lack of projects, there's a lack of developers. And we believe that this is, it may not directly like solve all of that, but it's going to be a significant step forward compared to any other chain that we've seen so far. So this is very promising. I'm very excited about this. I will personally be like teaching that course and that class to those people. Jake has already began working on like finding out, you know, how do we market this to those people? And then of course him also self-funding this as well. So we see this as an exciting time for Juno, both currently as the technical leader, as well as the future of, we've got all this great tech now, let's really leverage that and begin to shift our focus from the core tech stack, which is, you know, the latest of everything, over to bringing on more developers to build their projects and ideas out. And maybe they don't have the ideas yet. Let's find the ideas where we can, you know, make these things like Fortress Economy and these other things, but in new aspects in the year of 2023. So very exciting time for Juno, technically, as well as the future. Even despite the price, it's very, very bright, and I'm very excited. So if you have a question, feel free to raise your hand and to come up here, and I'm happy to answer anything on the technical side or, you know, some general things about this future development. If not, I'll just, in closing, while we wait, I'll do work in progress updates, future roadmap, which is very lean now, and kind of some final closing thoughts there. So if you have a question or anything, feel free to raise your hand. And then if not, in a couple minutes, I'll do the work in progress, future roadmap, and then we'll be completed. All right, as we wait. So one of the big features that we're still waiting on is the IBC 7.3. And so with the 7.3 WASM client that is still in the works, that is up to the IBC team, that will also include IBC callbacks, which we're very excited about. So you know, that is still a work in progress. Everything is still done from our side. We're just waiting on the final cleanup and audits from the upstream team. Yes, Jess, you had a question.
Hello. So yes, sorry to like jump in while I was speaking. So I had a little question about the interchain testing thing that you talked about, the local Juno and the local I think IBC you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So is it quite similar to how, say, you know, local Osmo or local Terra works? So basically all the chains are starting from basically empty chain, and then say these like interchain contracts or interchain calls are like tested against this pretty much an empty state. So the developer would have to sort of fill in the necessary states before they can run any interchain transactions on it, or would it be like starting from a certain like preset state?
Yep. So there's actually multiple different ways that you can do it. Right now, it's really all you need to know. If you're a developer and you know JSON, like the file format, you're good. You specify a Docker image. It can be any Docker image. You'll specify like startup commands. If you want to, here, I'll give you the repo now. It's github.com/strangelove-ventures/interchain-test, one word, and you can find that in there. And the interchain test will actually have the local interchain will show you examples of the file format. So it's in the configs folder there, or actually it's in the chains folder, and then I have a base.json. So like, what's the chain name? What's chain ID? Binary denom name? fetch 32 prefix. You can change all of this. So it not only works for contract developers, but it also worked for like, you know, as a chain developer. And then you can modify the genesis with basic like key value, you know, changes. So you can set, hey, I want a 15-second voting time rather than using the default values there. You can set up accounts there directly so you can have them like pre-fauceted with funds. And then at the end of that, you can have startup commands where once the entire chain starts, maybe you want to like add extra keys, for example, or you wanted to like pre-upload storing of contracts. You can do that as the chain starts. And then it exposes a public API, a like REST API, where you can run any command through a REST API. You can query any of that data. So you can have your front end hook into it directly where, hey, you start up this new chain. Maybe it takes 30 seconds to get all the IBC connections together between multiple different chains. And then from there, your web app can take over and, you know, serve you the content that you need or whatever your use case is for testing this out. Did I answer your question there?
Yeah, I did. Thanks. So I was getting this impression where this is, so basically like developers would have to fill in whatever state they need before committing the test. And then it feels like it's more of a, like a mock chain binary rather than running the actual chain, right? If that's...
So in this version, yes. So like, let's just say that you wanted a base, you know, Osmosis, because you wanted to use their modules for something, and you wanted a base Juno or a base Terra, and then you wanted to IBC connect all those together and leverage, say, testing something like Polytone, where that's a contract-based interchain account. And if you wanted to test that before, you had to do that up there. Maybe you want to do it locally because you want 1 second block times on all of your chains for quicker relaying and all that. Now that's possible. In the future, I've discussed with the Strangelove team, hey, what if we had an option where a state export is taken, say, every day, and maybe you want to import the entire chain state from a state export, and you could start this chain, it would do like a wget, pull the latest chain state, and then update the genesis to match that for the local interchange. So then you have all, say, 400,000 accounts in Juno, and now you can modify them based off your needs and your contract there. So that is a future thing I've discussed with the team literally yesterday. And we're going to be moving forward with that there. So
The reason why I ask is like we're working on a similar thing where we sort of fork a running mainnet, and then sort of, you know, you can then have a dedicated like testnet that's pretty much stopped, and then you can control it however you want it. So probably in the context of IBC testing, where, you know, for example, a swap is involved, you'd probably then need some sort of like legit liquidity before committing the test. Maybe that could have been helpful. So like, I was just asking how you're sort of leveraging the test tools here. And yeah, I think, my question has been answered.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one other thing I do want to mention is this doesn't work just for Cosmos chains. This will work for other chains as well, such as, you know, AVAX or, you know, the composable Polkadot things. So you're able to run not just Cosmos chains, but other chains as we continue to scale out light clients for these other networks. So it's going to be extremely powerful in that aspect too.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. All right. Yep. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. I had one other thing I wanted to mention. Local interchange JSON testing. Oh yeah, the other big thing is that the fact that you can write this in any language because it is an exposed REST API. Whether you know, maybe you're from a Web 2 background, you know, you don't know Go maybe, but maybe you know Python or Java or these other languages. You'll be able to write, you know, your test in these other languages, upload your Rust contract in Rust, and, you know, modify the chain at runtime using the Rust contract there. So it's going to be extremely powerful in getting Web 2 developers to not understand all the Web 3 concepts, but still be able to build out, you know, testing, whether that be through GitHub CI or something locally that they're trying to, you know, flesh out. And so I think that's extremely important. And one of the next, you know, besides the chain state, you know, directly from mainnet, but also having a bunch of different, so on, I guess you could call them like clients that would interact locally. And then in the future, we can also look at taking this testing framework, using it as almost a middleware between a mainnet. So because it's Docker images, you don't need to install any local binaries, which means that we actually have Windows support. So Windows users can develop Cosm Wasm, you know, locally on their thing and then test it locally, even though that they don't have like Wasm support. And this also works for, say, ARM64 Macs or like, you know, M1 Mac chips. So ARM is also supported with Cosm Wasm development through the Docker environment, which allows for us to do this like pass-through where we can begin to, you know, build binaries locally pass it through this onto the chain and allow for an easier onboarding experience all through a simple REST API. And all you have to do is, hey, maybe Juno upgrades from version 16 to 17. You change that one value in JSON, start up the thing again, and you're ready to go. And so it's super simple, trying to, you know, really make the onboarding experience easier, as well as local testing whenever I do, you know, do that for my own local things there. So yeah, good questions with that. Okay, so I had also, do you have any future questions? If not, I'm going to continue on the works in progress and roadmap. I do want to just give an update that in about 30 blocks, the version 17 upgrade will be going live on UniTestNet. So I mentioned the WASM client is still in progress. This will also include IBC callbacks, which we've had multiple teams also ask for. So that's an exciting update there. Work in progress. We also have a possibility of adding the native liquid staking module. This is what is currently being added to the hub. I have a pull request in right now, which, you know, it does what is needed to be done, but we will also need to be forking upstream dependencies, including WASM as well as IBC. I still need to talk with the team on if we want to do this. That's quite a bit more overhead in terms of managing security risk and updating quickly. So we'll need to see, but that still is a possibility for us. The other thing that is almost done, just needs testing, is moving all of Core 1 to community-controlled smart contracts. Since it is moving, you know, a lot of Juno, we want to make sure that we get this right. And plus, we can only really test it on mainnet. So part of the local interchain thing of pulling down mainnet state and being able to test that locally will play into testing the moving of Core 1's funds there. So that's another reason that that is a priority. And then also enabling all Stargate queries for contracts and having a contract which tests that so we can ensure that the chain won't halt in the case that a query is not directly like a, I forget the word, but that it doesn't halt the chain. So that's one of the important things there. So that's all the stuff that's work in progress for like these next upgrades. From a technical side, like Juno is so far ahead that we're kind of running out of extra things to like add. Like, you know, we've pushed forward over this past year in terms of the roadmap and all that, and all of the small things and these things that people have asked for. And now it's time for the innovation. So that will include COSM WASM modules is one of the next things on the roadmap, which will allow for a smart contract to have special access to only internal functions of the Cosmos SDK and be able to modify things, whether that be the Mint module, moving funds between accounts for whatever reason, and different aspects like this. It will be governance gated, so it'll be just like a normal upgrade, except it'll be quicker and allow for faster run times and things like that. So we're excited on that development there. The next big thing, you know, after this would be moving DAODAO to be a, you know, core part of the Juno network. And then part of this would also need, how do we test that locally? We would use the local interchain a test there. And so this will be moving DAODAO out to be like governance space where we can have like Senate kinds of committees, you know, and be able to move things off of the standard gov proposal and allow for other like special groups that are like, you know, voted in or something along those lines, based off of what the chain wants on this next constitution that's coming out is the next steps there. And then finally, the last like big, you know, future roadmap development is improving the Nakamoto coefficient and allowing for a way of better spreading out delegations, making it financially make sense to spread out delegations and to, you know, push the chain forward in terms of having a higher Nakamoto coefficient. I think we're already leading, you know, in terms like we're up in the top of being decentralized, but to push that next step forward and to really allow for it to make sense to expand the network and to you know, remove that risk there. So those are like the next, you know, I guess technically two things, because COSM WASM modules and DAODAO, you know, mixing are kind of one and the same there. And then the Nakamoto coefficient. So the roadmap after this version 17 upgrade is quite light from the technical side, which now allows for me to shift my focus to onboarding new COSM WASM developers, you know, maybe some more protocol developers to begin to build out custom modules that we need on the COSM WASM side to make development easier, to you know, add new development ideas for future possibilities and to really, you know, make Juno the true innovator here. Well, we've got all the great tech that, you know, some other chains have here and there, but let's begin to create these new modules. And we're seeing that in the version 17 upgrade with the drip module and then a more important, like the clock module there. And so more things like these modules we want out there. We want to make it simple to build out these things on Juno network and to really foster innovation here, and that's what we're going to try to do, mixed with Elite Society. And so it's nice that I'll get to shift my focus there and to really begin to leverage the tech that we have at Juno, and then push this across the interchain with more protocols. So really exciting updates, you know, are right around the corner, and really looking forward to this. So if anyone else has any questions, please, you know, feel free to request up, and if not, we'll be done.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terra Spaces.